Well, if you'd like to turn to John chapter 14, if you're not there already, if you've got the Bible to hand, that'd be helpful. Well, we're going to look today at some lessons that from Philip's questions to the Lord Jesus. And if we have a look at John chapter 14, just to remind ourselves, we looked last time, it was 3 weeks ago, at Thomas's questions. So the Lord Jesus had begun by those very comforting words in the beginning of chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." And we know that we can all have troubled hearts, can't we? We can all get worried, we can all get fearful. But the answer to that, if we do get troubled and fearful, if we're scared, any of us been scared, afraid? Afraid of dying, perhaps afraid of the unknown, afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow in school, the test I haven't prepared for, that sort of thing. Well, the answer in everything is to believe in God. Believe that He is the sovereign ruler of the universe, and believe that the Lord Jesus is His Son. And we commit all our troubles to Him. It's such a comfort to know that. And he went on to say, "In my house are many mansions." In other words, there's a place for you and I in heaven. Isn't that exciting? I don't know if we've got a place to live in this world, in this earth. Perhaps you've got to share a room with your sister and you prefer to have your own room. Well, you'll have your own place in heaven. It'll be a wonderful mansion. And we know that it's true because the Lord Jesus wouldn't have told us if it wasn't him. And he went to heaven ahead of us to prepare our place, to prepare our home. It's a lovely thought, isn't it? To know that this is not our home. You know, people do, they just live for this life, don't they? But it's not our home. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, your home, my home, is in heaven and not here. I'm a stranger and I'm a pilgrim. I'm a traveler through this world. I'm born, I live, and I die. And if I believe in the Lord Jesus, I'm going to be with him forever. And that's where I really want to be. And I hope it's where you really want to be as well. And he says in verse 3, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. Because I've gone away, you can be sure I'm coming back." People think, well, because the Lord Jesus has gone away, he's not coming back. But he says the proof that I'm coming back is that I've gone away. So he reverses it. Saying, well, the Lord Jesus isn't here. That's because he's doing something, he's preparing your and my eternal home. And then he's coming back for us. What a great comfort that is. And he tells them that they know the way, the disciples know the way, they know where he's going, they know the way. And then Thomas asks that question, "Well, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going." He was thinking that the Lord Jesus was going to some other city, because they were still hoping that he was going to make a great kingdom on earth for Israel, like they had in the Old Testament. Because he wasn't. He was going to make them their home in heaven. It's a much better place to live, isn't it, than here on earth. And the Lord Jesus then gave this remarkable message in verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Don't believe the lie you're told in school. Oh, well, all roads lead to God. It doesn't matter what religion you believe in, it's all the same God. If you heard that at school, well, it's not what the Bible says. There's one way to God, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way. And we saw 3 weeks ago that he was his own way, amazingly. He was his own way because by his own blood he entered into the Holy of Holies. The high priest had to shed the blood of animals, but he shed his own blood. He was his own way, and he is our way because we only enter into God's presence through the blood that he shed when he died on the cross. I am the way, the truth. Christ is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Everyone can have their own opinions. They all do. But there's only one true opinion. It's God's opinion. That's the one that counts. Nothing else matters. God is not interested in democracy. He's not going to say, well, because so many of you believe I don't exist, well, I won't exist then. Not how he works, is it? Because every person in this world could believe he doesn't exist. That doesn't take him away, does it? So we saw in Kids Club, and do come to Kids Club next Friday, all of you. As we saw in Kids Club, God is from himself and for himself. He doesn't live for us. Doesn't matter if none of us live, he would be the same. So he's not dependent on us. He's not dependent on us believing in him. It's for us to believe in him, for our good, not for his good. So the Lord Jesus tells him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want life, if you want eternal life, if you want life, good, if you want abundant life in this world, believe on the Lord Jesus. And if you want a life in the next world, believe on the Lord Jesus. He is the life. That's what we saw last time. And then he went on in verse 7. If you have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. He's saying, well, those who know me have known my Father. And that's stirred up Philip. Now, we don't hear very much about Philip in the New Testament. We hear about him actually only in John's Gospel. Because in John chapter 1, verse 43, the Lord Jesus calls him to be his disciple. If you'd just like to turn back in your Bibles to John chapter 1, the first chapter of John, and we go to verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So he said, we found him, we found the one the prophets spoke about. So really he's saying we've found the Messiah. So he knew he was the Messiah. And then we have him here in John chapter 14 saying, show us the Father and it suffices us. We just want to see the Father. That will be sufficient for us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? See, there are two ways that you can know the Lord Jesus. See, in those days, he lived in a body. He was a normal man. He lived a normal life. And people were hoodwinked into thinking he's just like us. He's no different from us. And in fact, the Jews said, you know, isn't he just a carpenter's son? We read that in Matthew chapter 4. And he's got brothers and sisters. They couldn't understand why he had such authority to teach in the synagogues. He seemed just like them. But he was more than a man. You see, you met him in the streets, you met a man. And we often think, oh, well, I'd really like to have lived in those days. Do you think that? And I'd love to have walked in Jerusalem. And if I'd met the Lord Jesus, it would have been so much easier to believe on him. Do you think like that sometimes? I bet you'd like to go to Jerusalem. Perhaps not now while there's a war on, but it's a wonderful place to visit, particularly the Sea of Galilee up in the north. I'm sure you could talk to a number of us who've had the privilege of going to Israel. It's a lovely place, but you're no more likely to really know the Lord Jesus if you met him 2,000 years ago when he was alive as a man than you would today when he is alive as a glorified man. and in heaven. And the reason is that to know God was to know him as God, you had to believe by faith. Just as if we want to believe the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, it's by faith today. It's no different to those days. You see, Philip wanted to see God. And in a way, that's very impressive. Many people want to see God, don't they? But they want to see God in their own way. So he thought, show us the Father, show us God, and we'll believe in him. Let me just recap very briefly before I go further. Believing in God, so believing, show us the Father. There are two ways you can come to know God. You can, at the end of your life, if you carry on not believing in him, you'll meet him as your judge. Because he is the Father, God is the Father of all humanity. And God, as the Father of all humanity, is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three persons of the Trinity made you and me. Now, that's one way you will meet God in the person of the Lord Jesus on the day of judgment if you have continued to live a sinful life. But if you want to know him as your Father, if you want to know the Father, you can only know him through the Son. So you can either know God as your judge or God as your Father. And that is what we want to know, God as our Father, don't we? To have a Father who cares for you, who looks after you, who will lead you for the rest of your life. There's a lovely verse at the end of Psalm 84 that says, "For this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death." Do you want to have a guide even when you're old and doddery? But you're all going to be like that one day. You know, you might think that's never going to happen to me. But you know, it's amazing how quickly time goes. And you look around and you look at the silver-haired ladies, and you'll think, I'm never gonna have silver hair. But you know, one day you will. Happens to all of us. We can all remember being young, you see. You think, well, I'll be young forever, but you won't be. Look at the photographs of your mother. She was young once, she's still relatively young, no doubt, but she was young once, but you know, she's older than she was in those photographs. Age comes to all of us, friends. And so we need to have a Father. We need to have a Father that will stick with us through thick and thin. And we can only know him through the Lord Jesus Christ. So Philip wanted to see the Father. That was sufficient. See, seeing God in the way that perhaps he meant it is not the answer. You see, seeing God is what happened in the Old Testament. We read that passage from Exodus, didn't we? If I just go back, Exodus 24, verses 1 to 11. And they went up, so Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders, they saw the God of Israel. And we read, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles, the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. They saw not him. Sorry, that's also they saw God and did eat and drink. So they saw God. Remarkable. But what happens? Well, we read a few more chapters, a few chapters further, and we find that they made their own golden calf. So they turned their vision of God into an idol. And that's what people tend to do. See, Roman Catholics, people in Eastern Orthodox churches, they make images of Christ. They pretend that they know what Jesus looks like. And they worship these images, but they're idols. So if you try and see God by literally looking at him, that's what we're going to do. But it's not the way of the Bible. Jesus said to Philip, "You know me all this time, but you don't know me." He says in John, he says to him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip?" Saying, you've been with me, but you've not known me. And you can have people like that, can't you? Do you know people who perhaps you don't really talk to? They're with you, and then suddenly you do get talking to them, and you sort of, "Oh, I know you now," but you hadn't known them before because you hadn't really got to know them. You hadn't spoken to them. And so it was with Philip. He recognized him as Messiah, but he'd not got to know who the real Jesus was. Because if he had, he would have realized, Philip would have realized that when he was speaking to the Lord Jesus, he was speaking to his Father as well, because Jesus says, "I and my Father are one." And you see, getting behind his flesh to the man inside, that was a work of faith to believe that this man standing before them was none other than the Son of the living God. And that took faith, friends. And it's no different today, amazingly. You see, faith was required then. And Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, "Though we know Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more." So they knew him in those days. Some of them knew him in his body, but no one continued to know him in his body because he wasn't there anymore. But to know the Lord Jesus, even in his time on earth, to know him as the Son of God, you needed to believe just as we do ourselves. Remember the Galatians. The Galatians were told in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, "O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" See, Paul is saying here, who's bewitched you? Who's deceived you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth? In other words, Jesus Christ has been described to them, put forth before them, and yet he never visited Galatia, they never visited Jerusalem. So how was it that Christ came to be set before them? Well, it was because the scriptures were taught to them, and by faith they saw him. They saw him as real a person as he was when he walked on the streets of Nazareth and then through the streets of Jerusalem. And you can know him in your heart as real as if he was standing or sitting next to you. If you know him by faith, that is the miracle of the Christian faith. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Do you believe on him as the Son of God? That's the challenge of these scriptures. And Philip was certainly right when he said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." In this sense, is your sufficiency in God? Are you going to be happy just knowing God as your Saviour and Lord? And that should be all that we care about. Knowing God the Father through his Son. And knowing him is eternal life. Knowing him is life, abundant life. If you don't know God, you're not going to live properly. Your life on earth is going to be very dull. You may have moments of excitement, but they'll disappear. But to live a life in God is to live the life that God intended. And so he was right when he said, "Show us the Father, and that will suffice us." In that sense, he was right. He was wrong when he wanted to see him other than in the Lord Jesus, but he was right to say, Show us God, and that is all. And friends, that's all that matters in life, to know God. Once you know him as your Saviour and Lord, that's all that life's about. Of course, it means following him. There'll be a life, an exciting life of faith that lies before you. But that is life itself. And then Jesus said, he that have seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You see, believing in the Lord Jesus as the Son of God, you will see the Father, because the two are one. Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that have seen me have seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And there are two things here in this verse, verse 10. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. You know, he did nothing by himself. Everything he did was ordained of his Father. His doctrine, his teaching was not his own. His teaching was his Father's. And so we read in John chapter 7, verse 16, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So he spoke the mind of God. Everything he did was ordained by God. And all the miracles he performed were performed by his Father. His Father performed them in him. Believest not thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So the Father gave him the words to speak, and the Father performed the miracles through him. All glory goes to the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now, there are a couple of things I'd like to bring out before we finish. The first is that, you know, going back to the point about Jesus being the Son of God, and not everybody recognizing that. You know, the reason why people don't recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, and they don't worship him, it's because the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If you don't believe, friends, it's not because God doesn't exist. It's because your heart has been blinded. Your eyes have been blinded by the God of this world, Satan. So never think it's God's fault. Ask him for light. Ask him for faith that you might believe. And then the last point I'm going to make is this point about God dwelling in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I, in verse 11, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. The Father lived in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, God, his glory, dwelt in a tabernacle. This was the tent that the Ark of the Covenant was in during the wilderness. And God was present in this temple that was built in Jerusalem. There were two temples built. And when God came in, they couldn't stand because of his glory. But that was only a picture of what was to come. Because this building that God inhabited in the Old Testament was hope was unsatisfactory. You see, the real temple that he needed was a pure and a holy place. And you know, when the Lord Jesus was conceived in the Virgin Mary, in Luke, if you just go back to Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, I think it's verse 35, we read here, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Son of God was holy, and God only dwells in holy vessels. And so the perfect temple for God the Father to dwell in was his Son's body. You see, his Son's body is described as a temple by the Lord Jesus himself. This is what he said in John chapter 2, verse 21. Then reading from verse 20. Then said the Jews, 40 and 6 years was his temple and building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. He was saying, I'm going to raise this temple, this body, in 3 days. Of course he did. Only God could raise his own body in 3 days, couldn't he? And that's what the Lord Jesus did 3 days after he was laid in the grave. So you see, he describes his body as a temple, and God dwells in this holy place. And this is what the Old Testament was pointing to when his glory dwelt in the tabernacle in the wilderness and in the two temples that were built in Jerusalem. First was Solomon's temple that was then destroyed, and after the exile, another temple was erected, pointing to, though, this greatest of all temples, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, just as the Father dwelt in the Son in his temple, now, we are described, if you're a Christian, you are too described as a temple. Did you know that? We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll close with this thought. 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, and which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Just as the Father dwelt in his Son, in the body of his Son, so the Holy Spirit dwells in the hearts of all the true believers. The Spirit of Christ comes into our hearts, and we are no longer our own. We're bought with a price. You know that if you're a Christian, God's Spirit dwells in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to live holy lives, just as the Lord Jesus lived a holy life. Well, may the Lord help us to know the Lord Jesus better, to know that in knowing him, we have seen the Father. We know the Father through the Son who died for us, to give us access to the Father, and those truths are made known to us by the Holy Spirit that brings alive God's word in our hearts. Do you know God? And is he your sufficiency? That's a challenge, isn't it? Are you sufficient knowing the Lord Jesus? Well, that is, I hope, a question that we can all answer yes to. We have all decided to give our hearts to him and to follow him, whatever life brings to us. Amen. We will close with Psalm 17, verses 14 and 15. Then I'll ask Sramra if he would come and close in prayer. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from worldly men we save, which only in this present life their part and portion have, whose belly with thy treasure hid thou fill'st. They children have, in plenty of their goods the rest they to their children leave. But as for me, I thine own face in righteousness will see, and with thy likeness when I wake, I satisfied shall be. Will we be satisfied with the likeness of God? Will we be satisfied with knowing the Lord Jesus in our hearts? Well, shall we stand? One second, please. We sing the psalms back. Sorry. From men which are, O Lord, from worldly men, save which, O that's Psalm 17, and we're on the starting at verse 14, which we've just sung. Whose bed is thy treasure hid, thou fillest, say, children, in plenty of their goods. I thine own face in righteousness will see, and with thy likeness when I satisfied shall be. Please be seated.